So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Every Wednesday here, we tend to celebrate St. Joseph. St. Joseph as a patron for us. As St. Joseph is someone who we ponder and really allow this day to be our focus. That St. Joseph is our not just our patron, but our father. It's so important during the Feast of St. Joseph on the 19th of March that we often turn to him. We turn to him again on St. Joseph the Worker on May 1st. But then we turn again each and every single Wednesday to ponder him, to be devoted to him as our patron. And it's fitting right there in the middle of the week, as we often have days throughout the week celebrating the Blessed Virgin Mary, for example, on Saturday. We celebrate the death of Jesus and the Sacred Heart on Friday, the Eucharist on Thursday. And we have other themes throughout the week, including the resurrection on Sunday. And perhaps you're not aware of Monday. We focus on the Holy Spirit, the Eucharist on Thursday. And so all of these themes we have flowing through the life and the tradition and the living interaction of the faithful. But why Wednesday for St. Joseph? We're going to discuss that today. We'll also discuss the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph, along with focusing on why sacred scripture is so important for us to find consolation, hope, joy, and peace. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I'd love to hear from you. How has St. Joseph answered your prayers? How has St. Joseph perhaps answered a prayer petition for you? How has he brought you consolation in the midst of a trying experience at work? Maybe you found yourself in a difficult work experience and you didn't know how you were going to finish a project on time. Maybe it was something you were working on with your hands, and you didn't know how it was physically going to be possible. Maybe the manpower wasn't quite there. Maybe you were by yourself working on something and he came through interceding for you. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We'll be taking some of your testimonies in just a little bit here. But I want to unpack this idea of St. Joseph being our patron and who we're truly turning our gaze toward each Wednesday during the week. You see, Wednesdays over the last 400 years have been a particular point of attention for St. Joseph. We have known over the really liturgical celebration of the Mass that if there's not already a given particular saint who's being celebrated on that day, that the church, the priest celebrating Mass, can default to our beloved St. Joseph and the Mass devoted to St. Joseph. We'll talk about how you can live every Wednesday turning your gaze toward him. You see, the author David Clayton has written about St. Joseph, and he referred to how St. Joseph, there's a tradition of pondering St. Joseph as the shadow of the Father. The shadow of the Father. The shadow of what Father? Of God the Father. He's a shadow of God the Father. Why? Because Jesus Christ lived in submission and obedience to St. Joseph. He was subject to St. Joseph here on earth because St. Joseph was his father and his guardian. Now, St. Teresa of Avila has commented, she had an incredible, if you didn't know this, devotion to St. Joseph. She said, because Jesus was subject to Joseph on earth, because he was his father and his guardian, and Jesus did what St. Joseph told him, St. Teresa of Avila said, now in heaven, our Lord grants all his petitions. That is, our Lord Jesus Christ grants all of the petitions of our dear beloved St. Joseph. Why? Because it would be fitting that if he was obedient and respectful and honored his father, that is his foster father, legal father on earth, that he would do the same while in heaven. Because God saw fit that St. Joseph would be a saint. God saw fit to bestow upon him the special graces to live out his human vocation, a human vocation that would bring about the Savior. And so turning to St. Joseph right smack in the middle of our week, it's an opportunity for us to ponder a saint who wasn't born with sanctifying grace as the Blessed Virgin Mary or St. John the Baptist or Jesus, but a man, a human person within the Holy Family who received abundant graces from the Lord. But the beauty of St. Joseph is his obedience. The beauty and the grandeur of St. Joseph is his fatherhood, the simplicity and silence of his death. St. Joseph is a true and sure patron for each and every single one of us. He is the shadow of the Heavenly Father, but he is a human person who divine grace and intercession brought about this great saint as a model for all of us. St. Thomas Aquinas says that St. Joseph has the power to assist us in all cases, in every necessity, in every undertaking. Why is this important? Because so often people talk about Catholic guilt or how much pressure there is to live up to and according to all the moral precepts of the church. But in reality, we are never alone. We've been sent the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Consoler. We've been sent the Great Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We've been sent St. Joseph, the father, legal foster father of Jesus, along with the great tradition of the saints. But we don't just celebrate St. Thomas Aquinas in the middle of the week of every week. We don't celebrate the great St. Teresa of Avila in the middle of every week. No, it's St. Joseph who we turn to pray with. In fact, St. Joseph is a patron of each and every single Wednesday, which is also in the great history of the church. Wednesday has always been that day where we turn and focus in a particular way on this saint, St. Joseph, as our saint who, in a very, very special way, has given us the opportunity to intercede and transform and provide us the opportunity to live out that great vocation that our Lord has given us. And so how can you celebrate and turn to St. Joseph on this day? And as I was mentioning, I was trying to remember, I lost my pattern of thought for a moment there. St. Joseph is also his day every Wednesday, is a day that the church and the great tradition has always focused on, a day of penance and fasting. In fact, we often remove ourselves from eating meat, and we tend to be called to make certain types of sacrifices on this day. And so what can we do on Wednesdays? What are some ways to bring St. Joseph to life every single Wednesday? Well, it's simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. One simple way is to pray some of or one of the great prayers we have in the tradition of the church. For example, a great prayer I'll post on social media is a prayer that has been prayed historically on Wednesdays before meals. And it goes like this. It has nothing to do with food, but, you know, we tend to, of course, pray before meals. So why not insert it right there as a family? Oh, blessed Joseph, faithful guardian of my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, protector of your chaste spouse, the Virgin Mother of God, I choose you this day to be my special patron and advocate. And I firmly resolve to honor you all the days of my life. Therefore, I humbly beseech you to receive me as your client, to instruct me in every doubt, to comfort me in every affliction, to obtain for me and for all the knowledge and love of the heart of Jesus, and finally, to defend and protect me at the hour of my death. Amen. You see, St. Joseph, that simple prayer, a prayer that can be prayed before a meal at the beginning of the day, it's a simple way to incorporate St. Joseph into your Wednesday tradition, your Wednesday tradition of your Catholic faith coming to life. A saint who can be your friend in the midst of loneliness, who can be your father in the midst of fatherlessness. There's also the great litany of St. Joseph. where we have the various titles for Saint Joseph, such as Chaste Guardian, Protector. We have him, we understand him as part of the lineage of David. You see, in the Litany of St. Joseph, there again, we have the opportunity to read all these titles of St. Joseph, Terror of Demons, who we see he's there with us, battling along in the spiritual battle that we are all engaged in to overcome those trials, tribulations, and sins and temptations we experience. Another way to focus on St. Joseph on his feast day is to read a book written about St. Joseph. It's the year of St. Joseph, after all. Maybe this is the year where we can begin to implement this practice into our daily and weekly momentum of our Catholic faith. There are incredible stories of the miracles of St. Joseph that you can just pause for a moment to read. I was reading just today, and I had never heard of this, but I thought it was a really great idea. There is a tradition where people actually will turn to Wednesday as an opportunity to do acts of penance. So we've known that for years, but one of the things that people will do is they'll use that day, especially if they have young children, perhaps to cook and bring a meal to an elderly individual, a family member, someone in your church community, or someone who's dying. Why? Well, on Wednesdays, we're pondering St. Joseph. We're pondering acts of penance. Now, this is a day where we can make a penance, an act of penance, do a service, an almsgiving for another person. But why to the elderly or dying? Well, St. Joseph, as we know, intercedes for us at our death. Many people will pray for him for years prior to their death, praying for a peaceful death that they might be welcomed into the arms of the Heavenly Father, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Jesus Christ. So offering this meal to the elderly or the dying, especially for young people, I think this is very special, reminds young people to pray for St. Joseph's intercession, to ponder and recognize the reality of death in their lives. You see, we live at a point in history where people are terrified of the idea of dying. In fact, many people don't realize that there's a place you will go after death, and that our time on earth is just a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage, God willing, that will lead us to our eternal resting place. And finally, another great way to move with the momentum and rhythm of the church throughout the week and to turn to St. Joseph on Wednesdays, go to Mass. Go to Mass and pray for fatherhood in our culture. Praying thanksgiving for the gift of St. Joseph. Allow the life and the tradition of the church to penetrate your life so that you know you are not alone in this journey of your Catholic faith. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Coming up, we're going to be discussing the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph. We'll dive into and unpack the scriptural basis for St. Joseph in the seven sorrows and joys, and how they're a part of our own daily lives, of transitioning us through the various trials that we'll experience to find complete joy and happiness. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Well, Welcome back to Trending. Today is Wednesday, and I just explained why St. Joseph on Wednesdays. Why does the church turn to him in the tradition? If you don't know, head over to relevantradio.com/trending, where you can hear all about why the church focuses on Wednesday. It's not a specific reason. It's just become the tradition, but there's some beautiful things for us to ponder and ways to incorporate St. Joseph into our weekly momentum right there in the middle of our week. So, I grew up knowing about the seven sorrows of Our Lady. Some people pray, as you may have heard, the Dolores Rosary, where you ponder those seven sorrows of Our Lady. But it was last year for the first time that I came across the seven sorrows of St. Joseph. I never heard about them before, but the great thing about the seven sorrows of St. Joseph is that not only are there seven sorrows, but there are seven joys of St. Joseph. Now, I think this is important because the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph stand side by side in our pondering of St. Joseph in sacred scripture. Now, what's neat is that St. Joseph, in most of these moments while present, doesn't say anything. But there are moments that he lives through in his life. Now, if you're ever one who maybe doesn't know what to do during your morning prayer, during an hour adoration, this is something you can take your Bible out, read the verses. In fact, we'll be sure to post the link in the podcast notes, relevantradio.com/trending, to the seven sorrows so you can pull up that link and maybe even print off the page of the seven sorrows and the seven joys. Pray and read the reflection. Go through and take your time meditating on each of these. But here's how the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph came about. A few hundred years ago, two Franciscan friars, priests, were shipwrecked. They were clinging to a plank for 3 days and for 3 nights. As they clung to the plank, they prayed to St. Joseph. Now, St. Joseph eventually interceded for them after 3 days and three nights and guided them to safety. He actually appeared as, by the way, listen to this, a young St. Joseph, not an old man. As a young man, St. Joseph appears to the two Franciscans and guides them to safety. And during that time, these two Franciscans were taught by St. Joseph the seven sorrows and the seven joys. He taught them how to have this great devotion of pondering the life of Christ, Our Lady, and St. Joseph together. So let's walk through them and unpack them for just a moment here. The very first of the seven sorrows for St. Joseph is the moment when he doubts the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is, he discovers she's pregnant, as we read in Matthew chapter 1, and he begins to doubt the origin. Now, the tradition holds that St. Joseph didn't doubt that Our Lady, let's say, cheated on him, because he had such high respect and regard for the Blessed Virgin Mary. But he doubted the circumstances. In fact, what he doubted, the tradition has held, is that he found himself unworthy to be a part of what was happening with Our Lady, because she was such a holy young woman. And then we know in this moment of doubt, as he plans to set her aside quietly, that then there's a dream. And in that dream, we find the first joy of St. Joseph. That's the message of an angel. You see, a messenger, an angel, comes to St. Joseph multiple times. And we'll ponder this as we go through the seven sorrows and joys of St. Joseph. Now, in this dream, we know that the angel, Gabriel, reveals to St. Joseph that, in fact, Our Lady has conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the child's name will be Jesus. You see, St. Joseph is equipped with a divine messenger. Remember, angel means messenger. This divine messenger who brings about a message of clarity in a moment through spiritual crisis. Can you imagine what that must have been like for St. Joseph? We've all been there in moments of trial and consolation where our faith has been brought into question. And just imagine, this is a moment indeed St. Joseph's faith was brought into question. His faith in Our Lady, and his faith even in the divine plan that God had for him. But an angel comes to bring great joy, to make clear that this is a moment and an opportunity for St. Joseph to follow the path our Lord Jesus Christ has for him. In the tradition from the Marian Fathers of this first sorrow, there's a prayer that can be prayed. You meditate upon the scripture, and the prayer is, by this sorrow and this joy, we ask you to relieve, and you name the petition. You can name those who you're praying for. Let's say maybe a parent, a family member. Oh, pray today for my mom. It's her birthday. Pray to relieve all anxieties and doubts about their future and fill their hearts with confidence and the powerful protection of Mary, the Immaculate Mother of God. You see, there are meditations and great history in these seven sorrows and seven joys where you can pray for yourself, pray for others, pray for things that all of us struggle with in our faith. The second sorrow and joy of St. Joseph, the sorrow is the poverty of Jesus' birth. I can't imagine, as a man in ancient Israel, in a very male-centered culture, that understood their God-given role to protect and provide and to lead their families, the horror that must have been on St. Joseph's mind as he realized that his babe, his little child, was born into circumstances of poverty, born in a cave, around animals, a filthy and dirty experience. It had to have been challenging. How often has it been challenging for you, perhaps, as a father, as a husband, or just as a man needing to provide for himself and his family? How has it been challenging, perhaps, for you when you feel like there are moments where you haven't been able to meet the needs for yourself, for your bills, to care for your loved ones? But then there's this beauty at the end of the day, all is well. All is well. How do we know this? Well, in the very joy of St. Joseph. We're in the midst of the poverty of Jesus' birth as his sorrow. The great joy is the birth of the Savior. Jesus Christ is born. In this moment, the Savior of all the world, not just materially, but spiritually, who has been made flesh, gestating, present in the womb of Our Lady, is here before his eyes. And this divine messenger, the Archangel Gabriel, who came to him and said, "This child is a child come from God." He now lays his eyes upon this child. He watches as the wise men come and worship and pay honor and gifts to the child Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary. He watches as the shepherds come and honor, and all of creation. There's this awareness. There's a quiet moment in Bethlehem. St. Joseph found great joy. And I think for the first time, received the gift of consolation from Jesus Christ. In the midst of his sorrow over the poverty of the birth of his child, there was great joy and peace and comfort in the child itself, which can come with any child, but especially imagine that moment of Jesus Christ's birth. We're walking through the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph here on Wednesday, where the church turns its eye, its glance, its meditation to the great tradition of St. Joseph. Perhaps St. Joseph has transformed your life. Perhaps there's been a moment where St. Joseph has answered your prayers. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. I'd love to hear how St. Joseph has answered your prayers, helped you through a difficult circumstance. The third sorrow and joy of St. Joseph, the sorrow is the circumcision of St. Joseph. I've laughed about this before. So my husband is 100% Lebanese. Now, the Lebanese actually have their own rite, and the Catholic rite is the Maronite rite. In fact, it's the rite that pays the greatest honor and love to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Maronite rite has its own liturgy, like the Byzantines, the Chaldean Catholics, and some of the many others that we have. They're part of the eastern lung of the church. The Roman rite is part of the western lung of the church, as it's referred to. And for some reason, year after year after year, every year, I somehow end up at Mass, in the Maronite Mass, just those 8 days after Christmas, For what? For the circumcision of Jesus. I had never been to a Mass celebrating the circumcision of Jesus until I was there at the Maronite Mass. And it made sense because this has to do with the day when Jesus is named, which is actually the joyful part of this day for St. Joseph. But the circumcision, to just ponder the fact that Jesus, with his family, submitted to all the laws and the customs of ancient Israel and Judaism of that time. And so the sorrow is that Joseph would mourn the fact that Jesus would go through the pain and the challenge of his circumcision. But then the great joy is the naming of the child Jesus. Jesus, who was known as the messenger, the angel Gabriel told Joseph in that first dream that the name of Jesus would bring salvation to sinners. Jesus' name is so important. We've been taught that when we have a moment of fear, anxiety, when we need to just make that brief prayer of aspiration, that we pray, Jesus. We pray it again, Jesus. And just repeat the name of Jesus over and over and over again. In fact, it's been really fun. My baby girl is approaching 7 months old, by the way, has two teeth now, and 4th of July on has had some challenges with teething. But she loves where I usually nurse her, as right below the crucifix that we have in our bedroom. And she just looks at Jesus. And I've noticed that there's this natural movement toward a God in children. In fact, this is something that's been known in, for years in the tradition of the church, that children have this natural affinity toward God and toward religion. And that often it's the world and even parents who fail to cultivate this or who stifle it. And what I've noticed is she just looks at Jesus and she smiles at him. She smiles and smiles and smiles. And she hears Jesus, this morbid image of Christ on the cross, yet there's something special that she recognizes. And so always before bed, I'll take her before the cross and we'll pray a brief prayer. And I found just a simple prayer, just praying Jesus. Jesus, the name of Jesus over and over again. Why? Because Jesus Christ saves. And we all should be able to ponder and repeat and recite over and over again the name of Jesus in our own lives. And grant, everyone thinks that their child's brilliant. I'm not going to be that person who says my child's like brilliant in advance, because I hate it when people are like, oh, my child's so this, my child's so that. But she will imitate my words as I say Jesus. Jesus. She kind of whispers and imitates the sound. It's pretty cool. She likes to imitate a lot of sounds that sound just like words. She does a good job. And so this prayer of Jesus is a prayer that had to have been one of the first prayers that St. Joseph would have prayed, just saying the name of his son. That every time, imagine this, he gave his son a command. He asked his son to do something, and Jesus, out of obedience to his earthly father, would do so. But even in that moment of asking his son to do something, he would be praying to his son in the same exact moment. And remember, what does that word prayer mean? Well, to pray, we have to remember, to pray is to pray upon someone, to have an expectation of someone. You've heard that phrase, pray, tell me. We're asking someone to answer what we are asking of them. Prayer is such an important word. It makes a request to someone else. And Joseph, when he'd expect obedience from Christ as his child, at the same time would be requesting a great gift from Jesus, a gift from the God himself. So that holy name of Jesus, to know the name of Christ and to pray upon him and pray to him, had to be a moment of incredible kind of recollection and pondering for St. Joseph. And this is why it's joy. It's a joy because in saying the name of Jesus, he can't just command Jesus, but he can turn to him as an act of worship. The fourth sorrow of St. Joseph is a special one to me because this turns our gaze to what's known as the presentation of Jesus in the temple, or also known in the tradition of the church as the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is when, for the first time, Jesus and Mary, 40 days after the birth of Christ, would enter the temple, and Our Lady would enter the temple as well for the first time. And there we have the prophecy of Simeon and Anna. In this moment, the prophecy of Simeon is a sorrow to Saint Joseph. Why? Because in this prophecy of Simeon, what happens? Simeon was waiting. We have that prayer that's prayed in the night prayer. If you pray the liturgy of the hours, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, the glory of our people Israel. You see, Saint Simeon's reciting these words, and these words had to have been a little heavy on Saint Joseph, that this little babe, this child of his, would bring about the salvation of the world, that he's the long-awaited-for Messiah. But that's not all Simeon says. Not at all. In fact, Simeon, in this moment, turns to the Blessed Virgin Mary and addresses the mother of Jesus. Behold, this child, he said, is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. So there's a sorrow in this moment of the prophecy of Jesus because of this great expectation, that burden that's placed upon a child so young, but also for the great challenge that it will bring for the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. But then there's this moment of consolation, this joy for Saint Joseph, that with every trial Saint Joseph experiences in the seven sorrows, he too experiences a joy. And that joy is the message of Anna at the same time, where the prophetess Anna makes clear something very important. That through Jesus, the redemption of Jerusalem will come about. You see, Jesus Christ redeems. Jesus Christ saves. This is the powerful witness of Saint Joseph. This is the powerful witness and opportunity where here we now have the answer in the prayers of all of Israel, culminating in this young child, Saint Joseph, has helped to bring into the world by the tender loving care he's shown the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. We're taking your calls. The number's 1-888-914-9149. How has St. Joseph answered your prayers? We have Marianne from Oakland, California, here to share with us about how St. Joseph has answered her prayer. Marianne, welcome to Trending. What has St. Joseph done for you?
Well, I did pray for about 10 years for a tall, handsome Catholic man. And just to be sure he was hearing my prayers, I entered Muller Barber College to cut men's hair. And when I graduated, I met him actually the month before I started Barber College at St. Dominic's Church, which has one of the two shrines to St. Jude in the country, with a dance in the basement. That's a wonderful story. We had 40 years together before he passed away 2 years ago this month. And so St. Joseph truly did come through. My parents were introduced by a priest, and first question I asked him, I said, "You're not a priest, are you?" And he said, "No, I'm not." So we were married at Mission Basilica, Dolores Mission in San Francisco. And I thank you for your show. I listen to it almost daily. I turned the TV off when he died. I haven't watched it now for 2 years and have not missed it, really. So thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you for calling, Marianne, for sharing that testimony. And I love you're praying for a tall, handsome Catholic man. Marianne, we needed to hear this because there are so many people right now who want to meet their spouse. And, you know, you reminded me of my own story of praying to St. Joseph. Marianne, I swear I always say I don't like novenas that much, and then I share with you some of those. Probably, I don't even think I can count on maybe barely more than 10 fingers the number of novenas I've prayed. It's probably under 20. But one of the novenas I prayed, I remember I was in college, and I was praying a novena, and right at that point, I was really, you know, kind of had intellectually decided that I wanted to enter religious life, but I wanted to go through, get my master's degree, get my PhD, and then become some sort of religious sister. I had, you know, I had decided it made sense to me. And at that time, my now husband and I were studying together, and we were in the same courses for school. And I was praying a novena to St. Joseph just about my vocation. And I even, you know, left that prayer there. You know, if you have in store for me, you know, someone that you would like me to marry or date, you know, Lord, place them in my lives. But like, this is really the trajectory that I'm planning for myself here. And it was funny because I remember the reason why I prayed that prayer was for one reason. A little woman approached me, a little old woman in adoration at Good Shepherd's Parish, approached me in the adoration chapel and gave me a novena card to St. Joseph. And she said, pray this for 9 days and you'll meet your husband. And I kind of laughed. Okay, I'll pray it for 9 days. I'll pray for my vocation. Well, at the end of the 9 days, the very last day was the day that my now husband and I went out for the first time. And it was like kind of more than just being friends now, or kind of testing the waters out. And I went, oh, good Lord. Okay, what's happening? And I just brushed it aside. And I remember months later, I've noticed that any time that there's been something major in the life of my husband and I, St. Joseph has always had his hands in it. Whether it's the fact that we were praying the novena to St. Joseph right before we decided to make that everything came about, that I would start doing this daily radio show here on Relevant Radio, or whether it was us discerning a particular job for my husband and some of the jobs that he's had over the years, that something in the movement of obtaining the job or not obtaining another job would be at the end, the conclusion of praying a novena to St. Joseph. He's really one of the very few people that I've prayed novenas to, and I prayed over and over again. So perhaps if you're searching for a spouse, more so praying for your vocation and abandoning your vocation to our Lord, pray for the intercession of St. Joseph. As Marianne in Oakland just said, she prayed for a tall, handsome Catholic man. And the good news was, ladies, he wasn't a priest, because I know sometimes that's a fear and concern. So please pray for Marianne, for the repose of the soul of her husband. Thank you for sharing your story. And if you have a story of how St. Joseph has answered your prayers, give us a call. The number's 1-888-914-9149. We're walking through the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph on Wednesday, the day where the church calls us to step into the movement, the momentum of the Catholic faith of turning to St. Joseph every Wednesday. And so here we have the fifth sorrow and the fifth joy of St. Joseph. The sorrow is the flight of Jesus and Mary and Joseph into Egypt right after the birth of Jesus Christ. Why did they flee to Egypt? Well, Jesus' life was in danger. And an angel yet again came to St. Joseph in a dream, telling him that he had to take Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary to Egypt, to flee to Egypt for safety. And we see in some of the studying, it's believed that Joseph and Mary would have been there less than 9 years, anywhere from about 4 to 9 years, closer to that 6 or 7 year mark, where they would be totally far away from family, away from their community, away from the temple, away from where they worshiped. And them and the small family in Egypt would be there as a young, new family. Maybe you found yourself as a family in difficult circumstances. I can tell you, this flight to Egypt, I've joked after my husband and I, just within a couple weeks of having our baby girl, received a job offer in the Midwest from my husband, I keep joking that God sent us to Egypt and that we're in our exile. Not saying the Midwest is bad. I do love California. But here we are, completely isolated us from our family, our community, where we worshiped. Everything that we've known, especially for me being from Southern California, this is a great sorrow for St. Joseph, that he had to pull his entire family away from where they had their life, but that this was what was wisest, safest, and holiest for his family. And they had to make peace with that. And they had to abandon themselves to the will of God. You see, St. Joseph teaches us obedience. Obedience and surrender and serenity in the midst of surrendering yourself to the will of God. And that joy to counter the sorrow is that it's read in Isaiah chapter 19 that the Lord will go to where? Egypt. And in Egypt, we'll see the overthrowing of the idols of Egypt. Why is this significant? Because it's a prophecy from Isaiah. And in that prophecy, it is fulfilled when? When Jesus Christ with the Holy Blessed Virgin Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, flees to Egypt to seek asylum. And there, in the land of the pagans, in the land of the idols and the idolatry that occurs, and the child babe of Jesus, there's a silence of the great God, the heavenly King of Kings, present in Egypt. And little did they know that the power of God was present in the midst of all the pagan worship and idolatry, that here Jesus Christ was. And so this was a great joy, because St. Joseph would have known sacred scripture, and he would know that the great Savior was being brought to the land where the Israelites had been slaves. And so there's this joy that Jesus returns when Pharaoh for years had said the Israelites could not worship. And there, little did they know, the Holy Family was acting the greatest form of worship with the child Jesus, bringing about the salvation of the world. You're listening to Trending with Timory. We'll come back with that sixth and seventh sorrow of St. Joseph, along with why sacred scripture brings peace, joy. If you could do one thing that could make you happy, joyful, peaceful, and hope-filled, would you do it? We'll come right back discussing what that is.
You can listen to more of Trending with Timory via the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com/trending. Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. It's Wednesday. In the great tradition of our Catholic faith, Wednesday is the day to turn to St. Joseph. If you've been joining us, I explained why. We're walking now through the seven sorrows and seven joys of St. Joseph. I just discovered these last year, and I continue to unpack them. And next time I go to Adoration, this is what I will be praying, because there's scripture, there are prayers, there's so much to meditate upon as we've been doing together. So let's walk through the last of the sorrows and joys of St. Joseph. The sixth sorrow of St. Joseph is the return from Egypt. Why would this be a sorrow? Well, imagine, as I just said, St. Joseph has left everything he and the Holy Family know and love, and they've gone as a new, brand new family to Egypt. And they start a life there in Egypt, and now they have to leave the life that they've started there and return from Egypt. There has to be the sorrow of moving the family around, changing, moving back and forth. For every man, for every father, there's this challenge in terms of being able to provide a home, a roof, but ultimately to provide the sense of stability. And so St. Joseph had to have been frustrated over this lack of stability by the movements. But what did St. Joseph do? Why did St. Joseph return from Egypt? Well, he returned because, yet again, the angel came to him in a dream, letting him know it was safe again to return, that the threat to the child Jesus' life was no longer present. And the joy, then, in returning to, that is, Nazareth, is that he has a life with Jesus and Mary there in Nazareth. And we've read that there Jesus grows in stature and develops. There is their life together, yet again, exposed to and surrounded by their relatives. What an incredible journey, that from the anxiety of fleeing to Egypt and returning, that there they're able to find peace and joy for a number of years. We know St. Joseph dies at some point in the life of Christ. We don't know exactly when, at least prior to his public ministry that started around the age of 30. But this buoys us into the seventh of the sorrows of St. Joseph, and that is the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. We didn't know that was where Jesus was, but we read in Luke chapter 2 that Mary and St. Joseph, along with their relatives and Jesus, have traveled for an act of worship to Jerusalem. And on the way home back to Nazareth, they realize that Jesus is missing. And for 3 days, they're searching for him, and eventually, in returning back to the temple, discover Jesus. And Jesus is kind of looking at them, asserting his now adulthood, essentially, and looking at Joseph and Mary, because this would be right around this 12-year range in the custom of ancient Israel, where a young boy would start to be considered a man, and he's declaring his independence in a respect. He says, do you not know that I would be in my Father's house? That here I am making the decisions I am meant to make, and I'm starting. I'm starting here and now. The worship and the ministry that God has given me. Because here he's already teaching with profound wisdom the various rabbis and priests and all of those present there in the temple. It's a sorrow because Jesus was lost, but it's a joy in finding Jesus. And I imagine it was also a joy in seeing that his son, like any good father, will be proud of and appreciate that his son is following the will of God, taking responsibility, embarking on a mission. Even if he's asserting his adult authority, and it may feel like a clash, like it is for any parent and child as this starts to occur, that he's making a good decision. That he's there even though he's given great anxiety to his mother and father. That he's doing the will of God in his life. Pray these seven sorrows and these seven joys. It's often the tradition to recite an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be with each sorrow and joy. Again, we'll post a link in the show notes for today, relevantradio.com/trending, where you can subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast and listen on demand to your favorite shows, but also, more importantly, share the mission of trending here on Relevant Radio and share an episode of the podcast with someone else. We have a caller calling in from Arizona. Ryan, why has St. Joseph changed your life or answered a prayer?
Yeah, hello. Well, it's actually kind of interesting story. So I was cradle Catholic and married, children and everything, and I lived a pretty terrible lifestyle. And unfortunately went through a divorce, and I don't believe in divorce, obviously, because I've had a reversion. But my mom had really put emphasis on St. Joseph, and it was a huge part of my reversion back to the Catholic faith. And now I really pray to St. Joseph to help me to stay chaste in my relationship with my civilly ex-wife, and that I stay celibate and be the father that my kids deserve. And St. Joseph has really, really guided me in the difference in my children and just how they have responded to it in my life in general, just so much peace and joy out of something that typically would be so tragic. And I really thank God for all these gifts and saints. And St. Joseph, just what an incredible, incredible man, a true sacrifice for the family. And I aim to be, you know, just like him.
Praise God, Ryan. Thank you for sharing that. You are a really good dad, setting this example for your kids of fidelity to your spouse. Even though you're civilly divorced, you're still married in the eyes of God. And for you to give that testimony of a man who is remaining celibate and chaste, specifically chaste, to his spouse, even in the face of the world who says, move on, it's fine, it's okay. No, you're showing your children the fidelity of the sacrament. You're showing them the battle for chastity, and you're turning to this incredible patron of St. Joseph. What an incredible story. Ryan, we'll pray for you and with you, and we just ask right now, St. Joseph, terror of demons, be with Ryan, be with his children, help in repairing any damage that's been done to his marriage, to his children. We ask you to bring about great consolation by your intercession. An increase in the virtue of chastity, an increase in the virtues of leadership and protection, provisions for their family. Ryan, thank you for sharing that St. Joseph answers prayers. He's helped you to live a chaste life in the face of marital difficulties and to be a father to your children, the father that God's calling you to be. Wow, what an incredible testimony. Thank you for sharing. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. That testimony that Ryan just gave us is a testimony to the beauty of sacred scripture. And this is why, I set it up like this. If there was one thing that someone told you that you could do to find consolation, hope, joy, and peace, and you could do it every day and you would be peaceful, hope-filled, joy-filled, and have consolation, would you do it? Because there's something in the tradition of our church that does offer that, and that is the reading of sacred scripture. Often in moments of panic, fear, anxiety, sorrow, depression, whatever that might be, I turn over and over again to the words from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Seven very simple, short, brief words. Words, though, that are a reminder from God that in him we receive our comfort, our peace, our hope, our joy. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read what's really a prophecy of Jesus Christ, a prophecy of John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. We read in chapter 40, right after those words I just read to you, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go on to read, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Why do I love this passage? Well, this passage is a reminder why there is one thing we can do every day that brings consolation, hope, joy, and peace. This passage is a reminder of the leveling out of everything in Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of the confession of faith and how a confession of faith brings hope and joy. How confession and reconciliation in the midst of our faults brings peace. How crying out to God in the midst of our anxiety and fear, that God answers our prayers. He is the comforter, and he sends forth the Holy Spirit to give us his very life so that we might accomplish all that he has in store for us. Come, Holy Spirit, St. Joseph, pray for us.